The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Do to them, and so they cringe and fear. And Paul is saying, now this new family you're in, you have not been called to bondage to fear again. You're no longer in bondage to your master called sin. You don't serve that master anymore. Sin shall not have dominion over you. The Spirit of God has dominion over you. You belong to God. So stop living like you're a slave. Many people thinking that I may fall off, I may go off the rail or fall off the edge, or I may slip and do something to bring shame to me and to God. This is not the way to live. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are God's child, and you are not to live in bondage and afraid that you're going to slip, you're going to dip, you're going to fall. No. You have received the spirit of adoption. Everybody shout, adoption. You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba. Somebody shout, Abba. Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic word for father. But the word has a very intimate form. It's like saying, not just father, but daddy, papa. God is your father. God is your father. And no matter whatever happens in your life, God still loves you and he's still your father. You may give up on God, but God will never give up on you because he's papa. Papa doesn't turn his back on his children. And this papa I'm talking about is not a rolling stone. This papa is a daddy who loves his children. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You might say, well, I accepted Jesus Christ, but I didn't feel anything. The Spirit himself will bear witness that you are a child of God. Now, what I want to do, I want to just give you an introduction today before I get too late. And I want to talk for the next couple weeks about being led by the Spirit of God. Being led by the Spirit of God. Now here we see in Romans chapter 8 that Paul uses the illustration of adoption and sonship to show you the new believer's relationship in Christ. Now this is critical. That in Roman culture, in first century, when Paul wrote this letter to the Roman Christians, in Roman culture, when a child was adopted, that child lost all of his rights from his old family. But that child became a legitimate child and a full heir in his father's, in his new father's estate. You need to understand this. Your old father has no rights over you. You've been adopted in a new family. You've been adopted in a new family. Now, in this new family, you're now a legitimate child, and you have become a full heir of your new father's estate. You are a joint heir with Christ. You're heirs of God, joint heir with Christ. Is that right? Likewise, when we become a Christian, the same way in Roman culture, when that child was adopted into the family, in that new family, that child had certain rights, responsibilities, and privileges. Likewise, when you became a Christian, glory to God, when you became a child of God, you had certain rights, You have certain rights, responsibilities, and privileges. And one of the most notable privileges is that you're led by the Spirit of God. I don't live my life like I used to live it. I don't trust in my ability alone. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways I acknowledge Him so that He can direct my paths. Why? That is my privilege. Now that I've been adopted in the family of God, now that I'm a son of God, my most notable privilege is that I'm led by the Spirit. What is the Spirit? Who is the Spirit? Let me ask you again. What is the Spirit? Who is the Spirit? Everybody shout God. Now, the image and the nature of God is Spirit, capital S. And the image and the nature of man is also Spirit, lowercase s. But both are eternal spirits. Are you following me? Let's go back to the beginning. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, for the Lord said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and give them dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds in the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. Are you following me? God made you for dominion. You're to be on top of things and not under them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let them have dominion, not only over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, but he says it over all the earth. So everything that happens to you in this earthly realm, everything that happens to you in this third dimension, God has given you dominion. Don't forget who your daddy is. You have dominion. He says, give them dominion, not only over all the earth, but over every creeping thing. And when the enemy begins to creep your way, when the enemy begins to creep in your life, just remember who you are. You resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God's given you dominion over every creeping thing. So God created, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. What is the image of God? Let us make man on image. Let us make man as a representative figure of ourselves. Let us make man as a representative manifestation of ourselves. You are a manifestation of God. You're not here by accident or coincidence. And you are as insignificant as a little ant crawling on the earth until somebody step on them. No, 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 no. You are a manifestation of God. That's the image of God. Then he says, make them after our likeness. In other words, you resemble God. How do you resemble God? God is a triune being. He is Father, He is Son, He is Holy Ghost. Man is a tripart being. You are spirit, soul, and body. So both God and man have a spiritual image and nature. And here's the good news about your spirit. Your spirit never dies. Did you know you're going to live forever? But the decision is yours if you want to live forever in the presence of God or in eternity lost in darkness. You will live forever. Forever. God is a spirit. Isn't that what Jesus told the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well? In the Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said to her, God is a spirit. And they that worship him, must worship him in spirit and truth. Man is the only creation of God that can worship God. Because man is the only creation of God that's in the image and hath the likeness of God, and God is a spirit, and man is a spirit. Only spirit can worship spirit. Then Paul prayed for the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, his prayer was, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. In other words, sanctify you completely. See, a lot of folk talk about holiness, but they don't understand. You have to have wholeness before you can have holiness. And Paul prayed for the Thessalonians that the very God of peace sanctify you completely, sanctify you wholly. And that your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus. You're not holy because you look holy. You can dress your body up all you want, make yourself look holy, but that don't make you holy. Come on. Your soul could be out of alignment. Come on. Maybe you have an evil thought, ungodly desires and affections. Maybe you're exercising your will against God's will. Then that makes your soulless realm unholy. But Paul said that man is a spirit, possesses a soul, he lives in a body. Now, when your spirit is in tune to the spirit, that great spirit, the one who created us, when your spirit's in tune to him, then your responsibility is to bring your soul and your body in line. Now, when you come to Christ, remember, you confess him as Lord and Savior. You believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead. And the promise is you shall be saved. And then the Holy Spirit, he baptizes you into the family of God, into the body of Christ. But just because you accepted Christ, I want to help some of you out. Because some of you are judgmental, you're too critical about other folk because they're still crawling rather than walking, or some are walking rather than flying. Babies need time to grow. Let me say it again. Babies need time to grow, but they're still your child. They're still your child. Just because a person says, I've received Christ, and they're still doing some of the things you consider ungodly, doesn't mean they're not a Christian. What it means is they are a baby Christian. What it means is they're still wet. They're not drowning in the ocean, as it were, the ocean of life, the ocean of sin and death. They're no longer drowning in the ocean. The master of the sea came by, cast out the lifeline, and reeled them into safety. They're saved, but they're still wet and stinky. Hello? This is not a zero-sum doctrine. It isn't you either 100% or you're nothing. No. No. He's 100% who makes us something. Did you hear what I said? He's 100%. So God is a spirit. Man is a spirit. But no man can see God. No man can see God because you can't see a spirit. No man has ever seen God's bodily form. If you have, stand up so I can recognize you. So if God is a spirit, and no man has ever seen God's bodily form, then how can you be led by a spirit that you can't see? How can you follow a spirit who has no bodily form? How can you be led by the Spirit? Yet the Bible told us, when we read in our text, from Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How do you know you're being led if you can't see the Spirit? Can't see a bodily form. How do you know? And This is what I'm going to be talking to you about for the next 3 weeks probably. I'll try to break it down each week so I don't go too long. How to be led by the Spirit. How to be led by the Spirit. Now remember when I started talking about some of these things some weeks ago, I quoted from Proverbs, the 20th chapter, verse 27. That the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly, searching all the inward parts of the heart. The spirit of man. And that's another scripture to attest to the fact that you are a spirit. The spirit of man is the fleshlight, the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of your heart. So how can I be led by the Spirit? Now, according to Paul and according to what Peter wrote, there are three ways to be led. But how many want to be led by the Spirit? There are three ways to be led by the Spirit of God. And the first one is the inward witness. Everybody say inward witness. All right, verse 16 says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What is that inward witness? That inward witness. That inward witness is the Holy Spirit, who is the witness that testifies to us of God's truth. He will testify to us of God's truth about people, places, and things. How many times you experienced you knew something because you knew it? There was no logical explanation. Nobody ever explained it to you, but you knew it because you knew it. Perhaps it was the Spirit himself bearing witness in your spirit. Then the second way to be led by God is by the inward voice. The inward voice. And you find that in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Paul says, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. That inward voice is really the voice of your conscience, the conscience that's within you, confirming and being in tune with the Spirit of God. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, the conscience of man. Now, what's interesting about all these three ways you can be led by the Spirit of God, they work in concert with your human spirit. They work in and through your human spirit. That's the only way you can be led by God, is to be a person who's made in the image and at the likeness of God. And when you receive Christ and you receive his spirit, then you are a son of God and you can be led by the Spirit. You can be led by the Spirit by that inward witness. I don't know, but I know. Then you can be led by that inward voice. You hear the voice of your own conscience. How many ever heard this expression, let your conscience be your guide? How can your conscience be your guide if you don't hear the voice of your conscience? And that's what Paul is talking about. Then going back to chapter 8, in closing, the third way to be led by the Spirit of God is by the voice of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 10. The voice of the Holy Spirit himself. The voice of the Holy Spirit. There are times when God speaks, and many of you have had this experience, and you thought you heard God audibly. You did not hear God audibly, but you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, and I'll go into more detail on this when I expand this teaching. Remember, Peter's at the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. He's on the rooftop about noon, waiting for them to finish preparing lunch. God gives him this vision. And the Holy Spirit speaks to Peter when he sees this vision. Verse 19 says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said, who said? Who said? Who said? The Spirit said. So here we see from the Word of God, the Spirit will bear witness. We also see that there's the voice of the Holy Spirit, our conscience. And here we see that the Spirit will expressly speak to us as he spoke to Peter. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Oh, my God. To have the Lord speak to you like that. Now, when the Spirit speaks to you like that, it is really the voice of God being manifested through the Holy Spirit. Is that right? It's like what Elijah experienced in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. He didn't hear God in the whirlwind. He didn't hear God in the earthquake or the fire. But he heard that small, still voice. Do you ever hear that small, still voice to give you direction? And more often than not, the Holy Spirit speaks when God wants to give us a clear, clarion direction. Now, I'm closing when I say this. It's getting late. When we lived in Minnesota, the Lord spoke to me like he spoke to Peter. The Holy Spirit said, move to North Carolina. Had never even been to North Carolina. But I heard the Lord say that. And so I'm walking by faith, not by sight. But after God dropped that in my spirit, to move to North Carolina, I don't know how long after that, but it was shortly after that, I get an invitation to come and lead a men's retreat, and it brings me to North Carolina for the first time. I'll never forget that weekend. It was the same weekend that Tiger Woods won his first Masters. I'll never forget. I was in the airport waiting on my return flight to Minneapolis. And I was watching Tiger Woods win the Masters. But I came to that men's retreat. We had an all-night men's retreat on Friday. And then I preached at the church on Sunday morning. Flew back to Minneapolis on that Sunday. And I knew that God, that was like a confirmation, you're supposed to go to North Carolina. Had no idea where to go. So I agreed to take a buyout from my consulting firm that I work for. I was a senior vice president for the largest human resource consulting firm in the world. In the Minneapolis office, I wasn't over worldwide. I was a senior vice president in the Minneapolis office. I agreed to take a buyout because we needed to do some cutbacks. And they sent me here to North Carolina, who provided me an office out on Blue Ridge Road until I could decide about my next steps. But when we came to North Carolina, all I had to go on was that the Spirit said, go to North Carolina. And so we flew to Charlotte. We flew to Charlotte, and we were there for a week doing house hunting. We were looking to buy a house in Charlotte. All I knew was that Charlotte was the capital, and the Lord said, come to North Carolina. And we were looking at house after house, development after development, but the pastor who invited me for the men's retreat, he was once one of the pastors, one of the young men, rather, in my church in Ohio, but now he's pastoring his own church. He's pastoring a Methodist church. And so Friday of that week, we came in on a Saturday. We're going to leave the following Saturday. Just house hunting, checking out schools for our son. He was still young at that time. And so we called up our friend in North Carolina and said, we're here house hunting. He says, come on up to Mebane and visit us. Tell me, it's not that far. It's in the center. It's right in the center of the state. How long does it take to get there? Well, it took about 2 hours, I believe. So we drive to Mebane, real little town, like Mayberry. And when he and his wife began to share with us how God was moving in their church, what God was doing in a Methodist church, how they were moving in the things of God and the full gospel. We had the burden that maybe we should just come to Mabin, buy a house in Mabin, and just work with him for 1 year. We didn't think we can stand a Methodist church longer than that. And God is my judge. We moved to Mabin, bought a house in Mabin, and we began to work in this Methodist church. 1 year to the date we gave the pastor, we said, we'll stay for 1 year. I get the call to come and pastor the church here in Raleigh. And from that church, we started this church. That's how I got here. So you're looking at me and say, where'd you come from? I just told you. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I have been here in North Carolina since 1997. Because I heard the voice of the Spirit. Many of you have been blessed. Many of you have been saved under this ministry. And where would you be had I not been obedient to the voice of the Spirit? Now, every one of you can have the same experience because you are a son of God. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit himself will bear witness in your spirit that you belong to God. That's right, you belong to God. And even when the enemy tells you that God doesn't love you anymore, even when the enemy tells you God's going to get you for this, that, or the other, you belong to God. He comes to remind us who we are. He comes to encourage us. He comes to say, keep on keeping on. You are a child of God. He bears witness in our spirit. And I don't care what anybody else say. I'm not on my way to heaven. I'm in heaven. I'm in the family of God right now. If you believe that, give God some praise.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. We hope you'll join us Sunday for a live worship service at 1430 South New Hope Road in Southeast Raleigh. www.agapeword.net. That's 10 a.m. Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship.
Hi, I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.